It was Kyle Smith right before his set at Siberia. I just went up. I didn't do good, but you know, I'm trying new stuff. Christmas season.
I enjoyed it. I always enjoy it. Every time you go up, dude. Every time you go up, like, most people might not understand it because it's out there, but nigga, I always love it. Every time you go up, I'm like,
oh wow, just starting off. This is gonna be a good show. Yeah, I was hosting a show last night, and it was just a weird situation. I was hosting at fucking Cajun's, and this weird situation where this lady walks by, and she's, like, carrying around this, like, really old guy, right? Yeah. And then I was like, oh, okay, you're just following him around until you drain his bank account. And then she was like, she made this audible, like, oh, my God. Like, I fucking,
loud.
Boom, through the microphone,
there
homie.
Go. There you go.
So I'm going to play that clip right now.
You want to talk? You want to come on stage?
Who?
You.
You bet your ass.
He wants to. Look at him. He's spry. Someone gave him his testosterone pills this morning. He's like, you were stiff as a board this morning, I bet.
But that was just his back.
You know what's wrong with my leg?
What?
I overdosed on Viagra and everything got stiff.
Oh. All of the dealers bluff right now. All right.
I'm sorry, though.
All right. Come on stage if you want, but this middle ground is a gray area.
I got a blonde dragon in your way.
Okay, well, I guess you got to go wherever the hell she wants to go. You know, you're kind of the whipping boy at this point as your bank checking account gets drained slowly.
Oh, my goodness.
Just teasing. That's definitely not the situation. That's definitely a rumor I heard. Listen. I want to talk about know your audience a little too well.
But it's just like sometimes, you know, you read a situation that's like too on the point, you know, and people get pissed off, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You ever like go to battle with audiences ever?
Oh,
you know what I mean?
I've had that once. Like, I've had a trip to Monroe. And this is the worst thing I could do. This is the worst situation because it was an all black crowd. Nah, I normally don't do those but it was with a friend, and we was like, all right, we go out there, help him out, do our thing. And when we got up there, like, you know, I'm not used to, you know, real like hood type. You know, I don't really. You know, here it's kind of collective. You got a mixture of people.
Right.
It's not just one set person that's just gonna want one type of way of you speaking jokes. That's it. That's all we want. We want either Cat Williams or Kevin Hart because that's all we know right now.
Right.
You know, and that doesn't settle with me. So me going there, oh dude, it was so horrible. They had one guy that was just randomly clapping, just out of nowhere, just I'm like, oh, what are you doing? It drove me. It was like that dripping of water that you hear at night. You want to fucking get up out of the bed to turn. It was that. I was like, oh, and I fucking went off. And, like, we went back and forth. And then I got him. I was like, yeah, fuck that. Ain't nothing but space and opportunity. And I was like, oh, man, I'm not from here. You know, so it was a total, you know. I was like, I got my fucking buddies here to back me up. They was like, whoa, hold on. No, we don't associate with you like that. You doing the wrong. I was like, oh, yeah. But it got to me, son, because it was that just the arrogance of, oh, you're not going to be funny because you're not talking about what I want to hear.
Right.
So, you know, I had an incident here.
Siberia.
Yeah. At Siberia, they had this one lady in the crowd. And I was talking about transgenders and rape, kind of sort of coinciding. Like, I'd be getting raped by a transgender person because I'm tiny and I'm small and I could be taken advantage of. You know, internet, people on the internet, you know, they could be very fooling, very, and you know, just.
They could take you in,
right,
and then
exactly.
Throw a good right.
What
up.
Am I supposed to do? And I was explaining that, and you know, as I was acting it out, she was like, boo, just threw a random boo out there. I was like, whoa. I never got a boo before. You know, I was like, whoa, it hurt. Like, I was like, oh,
and
my God.
Also, it's like, if we're talking about your subject, like, we're thinking about it, so we're trying to figure it out and make your pain or your whatever it is, like, entertaining for people. It's like,
right.
I guess people are touchy, like, just when they hear the topic, they're, like, automatically, like,
yes.
You know what I mean?
And see, the thing was, I was like, what is the problem? You know, is it rape? Is because I'm the one that's about to be raped in this situation. Would you like to take my spot? You know? And she was like, boo. And I was like, why is the boo? And I was like, you know what? Fuck this. I just stopped. That was like the first time I ever just stopped my whole set. And I was like, fuck this. I hung it up. And I went and approached her. I was like, man, what's up? Like, what's really going on? She's like, I don't want to talk. I don't want to talk.
She just wanted to interrupt your set.
Right. And I totally just walked off the stage. And then everybody was like, nah, you shouldn't have did that. I was like, all right, I understand. And later, after it kind of died down, I went up to her and I apologized. And I was like, I'm sorry, yada, yada, yada. She was like, yeah, it's okay. It's cool. But, you know, I just don't like you talking about transgender people like that. And I was like, transgender? Is that what it was? I was like, really? She was like, yeah, I got a transgender friend. I was like, but you're not transgender, are you? She's like, no. I was like, so, all right, whatever. I'm sorry. You know. And since then, I haven't told that joke since.
You're just, like, mad for other people. It's not even like that.
Yeah, it wasn't like, that. I'm not going... Yeah, I wasn't going against trans. I don't have anything against them. I was just saying this is an awkward situation for me. And this is how I would act it out if it happened.
Right.
You know? And she just... I mentioned transgender, and she just didn't want to go with it at all. I was like, whatever. But never again will I do that.
But, you know, I think sometimes they don't respect the hustle. Like, I see you out all the time. You're always doing... you know what I mean? You're hustling out there.
Yeah.
So I think sometimes when they say boo in 5 seconds, they don't understand that you're out every single night trying to make this shit funny. Right. That's what you're doing.
Right. And now I've gotten to the point to where I actually want to work on my shit. Like, I want to take it and do it every night to where I got the certain key points that I want to hit to the spots that I want to go to how I want to be acting as I'm saying what I'm supposed to be saying. And it just, you know, just working on it like that, it feels so good. I like coming out and being able to get to be like, ooh,
yeah,
it's time for me to go ahead and make these motherfuckers. I got a new twist on what I was saying before.
Yeah.
To where it's like, ooh, it's going to get them this time. I'm going to kill them with it this time.
I'm obsessed about it. Every time I go home, I'm obsessing about what happened, you know. I want to also talk about something else. I made an appearance on something called a self-indulgent podcast. I called in. They were talking about Cosby.
Yo, it's Hallenbeck. What's cracking?
What's up, man?
I was hearing about some conspiracies, you know, and my spider sense went up, and I decided to call it.
What's up, man? What do you think about this whole Bill Cosby thing?
Well, I can tell you this. I was in a comedy club with Hannibal Buress this past Monday, and Hannibal has been in New Orleans this past couple months or whatever. He's shooting a movie down here.
Right.
But to say that there's a conspiracy, I do agree that his son was definitely shot because of that NBC deal. I think that is legitimate. And, you know, General Motors, General Electric owns NBC, and they're, you know, pumping gas, and they're, you know, spilling oil, and they're a bunch of fucking criminals who, you know. So I could see why they wouldn't want Bill Cosby, some comic, owning NBC. They want to have their propaganda out there, and they want to design their propaganda the way they want, you know, so we keep on buying oil or whatever. However, to say that Bill Cosby's not a rapist and then citing, oh, he was trying to put this band together, he was trying to do this, no, he's definitely a rapist.
Wait a minute. Okay. Let me ask you this. How do you know he's definitely a rapist?
Okay. Well, because 18 people have come out and they're saying the exact same methodology of what goes on. And they're all saying, he put something in my drink, I got dizzy, I woke up, and I was all covered in goo. And, you know, to say that there's parties where girls are willingly giving themselves out sexually is different than being unconscious and waking up with a huffing Bill Cosby in your face.
The media is a powerful machine. They can make if right now you're on the phone with us, right? When you hang up the phone, we don't know what you're doing. If I had the power, I could take your picture right now and put it on NBC and say, this dude right here just punched 60 cats in the face. And Peter would come after you. They would come after you before they asked any questions because NBC said it. And right. because me and then I pay Sean a little bit of money, I pay Anthony a little bit of money, I pay everybody a little bit of money to say they saw the same thing, and suddenly now you are guilty and there's nothing you can say. You know, so it's that easy to, you know, to destroy someone's image if you have the, you know, the power to do so.
All right. You know? My rebuttal to that would be cats can't talk and they don't have first and last name, unlike the 18 people who are putting their first and last name and social security card to the camera and saying Bill Cosby raped me and shit, and then going into graphic detail about how exactly that happened, and these are humans, okay. not cats, right. who are, you know what I'm saying? So that's like yeah, a bit yeah. different, and I wouldn't want to go on television and say that I've been raped if it wasn't true. That's a bit embarrassing. It's a bit shaming. Like, oh yeah, let me run on television and tell the world I've been bummed. I don't think anybody wants to do that. You know, the motivation is, you know,
there's a lot of money in doing that, just so you know. There's a lot of money. There's a lot of payoff in doing that.
At first, I was, what do you think about Cosby? You know, like, at first, I was totally into it, but now I kind of think that there's blackmail. Whenever you get that high in the system,
so
everyone's got shit on each other.
Money.
And it's always like, and there's this thing called MKUltra.
25 or 30 years ago, you have what we call the Illuminati that was established in 1776. And the goals of the Illuminati, this is all very well documented, are to take over the world. One of the best ways of taking over the world is to control people's minds and to take over a country through the control of the minds. So what's happening in America, and based on my research and my interviews with numerous individuals, is that the powers that be, the higher-ups, the people in the Illuminati, are using the satanic cults as a means and as a tool to condition individuals and to make them victims of the mind control, MKUltra mind control program.
Corey Feldman has no idea what it's like not to be famous.
Do you feel like you missed out on a normal childhood?
What childhood? I don't know what that means.
A lost childhood and a loss of innocence. He blames the adults, not just those looking to profit from charming children, but also some with far more sinister motives.
I can tell you that the number one problem in Hollywood was and is and always will be pedophilia. That's the biggest problem for children in this industry.
The casting couch even applies to children.
Oh, yeah. Not in the same way. It's all done under the radar.
Nobody talks about pedophilia.
It's the big secret.
And it's widespread?
Oh, yeah. I was surrounded by them when I was 14 years old. Surrounded. Literally. Didn't even know it. It wasn't until I was old enough to realize what they were and what they wanted and what they were about and the types of people that were surrounding me till I went, oh my God, they were everywhere like vultures.
Vultures who Feldman says abused him and his best friend, the late child actor Corey Haim, his co-star in The Lost Boys.
Well, what happens if my mom is dating the head vampire?
Feldman says the trauma of that pedophilia contributed to Haim's death.
If you look up MKUltra, I think that Bill Cosby is a person in something called MKUltra.
MKUltra? Is it something like Illuminati? Is that what
you're saying? Yeah, man. It's like, they got their... You know how all celebrities, like, keep their dialogue at a certain level.
Yeah.
They never go outside and say, hey, listen, what if, you know, there was suppressed technology or anything like this? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Then they make sure that they're all, like, brainwashed and brainwash other people and stuff. I don't know. If you look up MKUltra on the internet, there's plenty of whistleblowers out there. But I'm just saying, I think he's into that club.
I will.
There was, like, Senate hearings about it and stuff like this. It's a real program by the CIA. But what do you think about Bill Cosby? What was your concern?
Oh, man, I think he is in some shit. He is in some deep shit that he can't climb out of right now. And it's like, wow, your shit. Like, he was on the way up to, like, some type of other stardom. You didn't just see, like, you seen he was about to get a NBC fucking show. He was doing his 2-hour little stand up all over. People was loving him, and then this shit comes out. That's like, I was thinking about that yesterday because he's all positive, you know, do this, pull up your pants, do that, you know, stop being niggas. And then, but when you look at Denzel Washington does the same thing. He's like, oh, I want you to be, you know, militarized, fucking, I want you to be clean, fucking, do shit accordingly. It's like, wait, why shouldn't we check his background? You know, isn't it kind of strange how everybody just attacks him because he used to be all, and it's like, wow, dude, with the shit that's going on now and in today's world, with all the technology we have, with shit that you can see with your eyes now of what's going on, oh, he's in some shit. He's in some shit.
Yeah. And the original complaint about him is like, look, you're trying to clean up all the other comics' language. No other comics say shit to each other as far as what their language should be or whatever. No one tries to censor a comic. What do you look at? What happened to fucking Lenny Bruce? You know, like, no one respects the fact that Lenny Bruce got, like, freedom of speech laws. You're going against that shit. You know what I mean? He lived through all that shit. He knows it. And he's like telling other people, oh, don't curse too much. And yet he's like got this, like, harem of, like, young girls that he's, like, drugging on the regular.
Right.
Dude.
That Spanish Fly bit. Like, I asked my daddy and them about that.
Yeah.
They was like, what? Wait, he was talking about that back then?
It didn't seem that weird back then.
Exactly.
Everyone was doing that. Right. Everyone in the 70s was putting Spanish shit in people's drinks.
I've seen Spanish Fly in a little porno magazine. I was like, ooh, what's Spanish Fly? And then I read up on it, and I was like, oh, it makes them want to have sex.
Right.
No, it makes them go to sleep. Right. And it's like, oh, but see, my feeble little mind back then, I didn't know. I was just like, I want that horny goat weed shit. That's what I want.
Right.
I want some of that because it's supposed to do this. And, you know, I might overdose some bitch. And it's like, nah, I don't want you sleeping. Why are you sleeping? You know, I'm not knowing.
Right.
But, dude, for him to say that, oh, let's take this and just...
Because that would unleash the tiger within, and that would make the girl think that she was into you, but really it was just all the horny goat weed through her system.
Right.
But at least she's taking some kind of motion towards... You know, there's different. You gotta if it's an herb that you could be just cooking. You know what I mean? Who knows? That's not like oregano. Oh, it tastes good. Horny goat weed.
Gotcha.
But like, you know, if you're like using like pharmaceuticals or you know what I mean, it just depends.
Yeah, deep going far. You trying to trying to make people not feel shit in the morning. That's
dude. What's that, man?
Did anybody else perform besides me at Cajuns yesterday?
No. Starting off slow. I did like 60 minutes.
It's
I just
like
kept going on.
It's
I
like,
just
you know what I mean. You it just starts off, and then before you know it,
I forgot to say after my set, like, hey, listen, you know, go across the street and do casuals, but you know, I'm doing a podcast with this guy right now, homie.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey guys.
No, it's cool. You can have a cameo, Vincent Galino.
That's true.
That's who.
That's who. Fucking fancy ass mohawk here.
It's okay.
Hawked it out. God damn. That is a fucking drastic change from the dreads.
Yeah.
So how was Cajuns, that hell gig? I was talking about it a little bit earlier. There was
hell,
like...
You said hell gig?
Well, you know.
Yes. I got a drummer now. He'll tell you when to tap your nurse to tell you to laugh. Okay.
It's fun.
That was like... No, there was just... It was just a small crowd of 8, and I would say... Most weren't paying attention, but I had one dude in the front dying, and the lead singer lady was like off to my right, and she was chuckling.
Right.
And
right.
like, that's all you fucking need. Like,
yeah, the band was great.
I wanted to have fun with it, and they wanted to be there, and just like Bible, whatever, two more gathered or something. But it was like, it was still fun. Like, it wasn't bad, but there were definitely like, I feel like there was one dude in the back who was just, I feel the whole time I had just.
Well, apparently he couldn't hear.
He couldn't. That one guy.
He couldn't hear, and he was with his like semi mistress, semi nurse type of lady who was like draining his bank account. That
I wouldn't pay attention to me either if I had her at my side. But I was gonna say you did really well.
Oh, cool, man. Look, I'm trying to break into the inner circle here, and you know what I'm saying. I feel like there's like a ritual going on right now.
My name, like. Right across the street at the same time.
I feel important.
This is very competitive.
It's just right before.
If
people
can
come.
If you guys get a little earlier. Or
it does start at 5:30.
My name is on his addendum.
That's pretty cool.
Look at this.
It is.
I know what the fuck I'm
Look
doing.
At that. Wow.
I know where we're at.
You want
I know
some
what
shit.
Time it is.
That's what's up.
What's up, man?
Gives me chills.
Alright, yo. I'm
like this.
Okay. Do you mind if I talk to this guy? Sorry. I'll get you on. You're in the rotation, homie. I'll get you on this
shit.
All right, Vince Galino taking a cameo.
Have his name as Vito in my phone.
Okay.
Looks like a Vito, man.
All right, so let's get back to what's cracking.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of, I'm just talking about me more. I mean, it's not all these bullet points are about you.
Okay.
So most of them are about me.
I would like to know more about you. That's awesome.
I'm such an asshole.
Just work it in.
But that Cajun's gig last night, I felt like I really grew as a comic.
Because yeah.
What happened was the band went up and they played a little bit, and then they had me go up, and then there was no other comics hopping in. So I just kept going up in between. The band would do four songs and they're like, tell more jokes, Eric.
Man.
And, you know, I only have 20 good minutes and I did 60.
Yeah. There you go.
But I stretched.
Stretch
as a,
it. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And it felt good to stretch.
Stretching is good.
I didn't know I was capable of doing that much shit.
Were you stretching tonight?
I was stretching big time tonight, based on what happened last night.
I heard it.
I know, I went totally off my
door. You worked through it. I liked it.
I'm working through
it.
You've heard those shits evolve a lot.
Yeah, I have. And I was like, ooh, that's good. That's good how you did that.
I'm working on it.
Yep.
That's what I'm trying to make funny. I know I could talk about my dick like a fucking monkey and make these idiots laugh.
Yeah.
I'm trying to do that shit. The music! Members of these bands, like, oh, he's got a great avocado salad. I'm on Instagram. Look at this guy. He's playing music and living his life. He's out on the go.
We're all on Tinder.
They're all on Tinder. Okay. Stop running their dicks on Tinder. What the fuck is up?
We're a Tinder promoted band.
Oh, and there's a tip bucket too, because they're on the road. They like getting hand jobs at Chinese places that rub you down. So look. Their budget is, you know what I mean? Just for that alone, so you really could consider their budget and their process. Is
for real?
That's
so weird.
You said something, I was like, you're a fan of Your Mom's House Podcast.
Yes.
Your Mom's House Podcast, monster shout out. We both listen to that. We both think that's hilarious. Your mom's house. I mean, cops are all bald and shit.
Always all bald and shit.
You talk about, like, does that help you listening to that podcast? It's a white couple, right?
Yes.
You're obviously a black man, but you know what I'm saying? You think it's very important to listen to different stuff, take in the information, and then try to figure out. So what are you learning, like, as a comic for stand-up from Your Mom's House?
Oh, from Your Mom's House. Just to get irrelevant. Just go all over the board. You don't have to be in one area. You don't necessarily have to just stick just to this or keep it this way. You know, get crazy. Get wild with it. And I like to, as you see, I'm kind of a shock value, a shock factor type of guy. I like to shock and woo the crowd. Like, oh no, he didn't say that. Like, yeah, I did. And you know, I like to take it that way, but keep it subtle. You know, because they wouldn't expect this from somebody that's so adorable. You know, right. So it's like this is the kind of persona that I want that I put out there because this is the mind that I have, and this is what makes me think of my jokes and how they come out the way they do. And I seen that it's consumed me. Like, doing this now, it's overwhelming. It's kind of like, this is how I am now, and I can't change, you know. I see that when I'm around people now. And it's always the life of the party, you know. Like, oh, that guy is the person to be around. Like, oh, you know, like random people, you know. It just, I don't know, it clicks. And fucking, it just comes out. It's cool.
That's good, man. I've seen you perform in front of all kinds of crowds, and it's like it doesn't bother you at all. And everyone kind of, you don't look like you're pandering to anybody. You're just telling it how it is, and it's just like if you tell funny with enough speed, you know what I mean. Everything, it's just timing. It's just how are you going to give this detail? How are you going to phrase these three words?
Right.
You know,
right?
I can see
that all pays into it.
I know about the writing and shit, you know. But you know,
I
keep on going back to fucking Helen Wolf on Thursdays.
Oh, this is the arguing black chick.
Oh
from
shit,
the street.
She's going crazy.
This is awesome.
Right.
Well, look, that's Project Educate. That's right. Good.
Yeah, that's interesting. So that leads me to this next thing. I'm trying to figure out how to make black people laugh, right?
Oh,
you know what I mean? And I don't know how to relate to this that lady that just walked by.
It's simple shit makes them laugh. Just simple shit. It's just nothing extravagant, nothing out of the ordinary.
Right.
The simple shit that they see every day on a day-to-day basis.
Oh, thanks, man. Appreciate it. This guy's going on soon.
Yeah.
I went up third, but this guy's going up soon.
JJ's.
Cool. Thanks for coming out, man. Appreciate it.
Everybody comes running through the podcast. They love it. That's what's up. You got fans.
Yo, what do you think about this CIA torture report?
We also have to work the sort of the dark side, if you will.
The interrogations and the conditions of confinement at the CIA detention sites were far different and far more harsh than the way the CIA had described them to us. The CIA just went and searched the committee's computers.
As far as the allegations of, you know, CIA hacking into, you know, Senate computers, nothing could be further from the truth. I mean, we wouldn't do that. I mean, that's just beyond the scope of reason. And, you know, when the facts come out on this, I think a lot of people who are claiming that there has been this tremendous sort of spying and monitoring and hacking will be proved wrong.
In the end, it was Brennan who was proved wrong. A probe of the matter carried out by the CIA Inspector General's office concluded that CIA employees had, in fact, improperly searched the Intelligence Committee's computers.
And when we engaged in some of these enhanced interrogation techniques that I believe, and I think any fair-minded person would believe, were torture, we crossed the line.
Lawmakers say that redactments made by the administration have made the report essentially unreadable.
But we tortured some folks. And we have to, as a country, take responsibility for that so that hopefully we don't do it again in the future.
Look, the New York Times is saying Dick Cheney and George Bush need to get fucking chained up and they need to go to fucking jail. Because look at what's in the CIA torture report. This is against the Geneva Convention, clearly. There are Nuremberg trials. They're evil people. No, they would rape children in front of their moms to get information out of the dads.
Whoa.
Why is there CIA doing that?
That's a bit much.
Someone from the government is raping somebody for information?
You're doing way too much now.
Dude, where is it? What fucking...
I think we're doing this for pleasure now, because that's...
Yeah.
I mean, torture... Yeah, you tortured him some other way. You don't... That's a different.
Well, and what they're doing is doing that to steal their oil, which is an obsolete energy source, clearly. And that gangster of oil child rapists are fucking keeping the planet down because they're not putting out alternative shit. Saltwater car. That's how they're running it. They got a lock on one fucking business.
The Quant. Yes, Quant. It's called the Quant eSport Limousine. This is not your average car. And not just because it's funky Quant name. The supercar uses an electric motor at each wheel to make 908 horsepower. Whoa now. But Quant actually limits the output to 644 horses. But still, it's a lot of steeds. Anyway, that's not even the crazy part. And Erica, this is going to blow your mind, all right? 8,552 pound-feet of...
Wow.
Of wow?
Of torque. What? What?
Torque. I mean, what? Yes, not 800. This is not a typo, people. 8,000. What is that coming? How's that getting off the line?
I'm done. Wow.
Like, ludicrous speed. So you're thinking that's got to be the craziest... most interesting part about this story, right? Nah, son. The best part is that the Quant E Sport Limousine uses flow batteries which are charged by an electrolyte. That electrolyte is salt water. Mind blown.
You're a good dude. I saw you got hustled the other day. One of the first times I met you, your car got towed.
Yeah.
You know, you see the inner, you see
a couple of times, actually.
You're just going out there. Your car's not there anymore. It got stole by some gangsters who have organized themselves into such a way where they could just take your car from where you knew you put it.
Yeah.
Put it someplace else and go, yo, this shit's under ransom right now.
Oh, they don't even leave a note.
Hey, hundy.
They don't even fucking put like a little plastic, little foldy triangle shit that says, hey, we took your shit. Yeah, no, they don't put that out there. They just gotta hope you figure that no one stole my shit. It's an impound. Like, they just hope you figure. I panicked the first time.
Yeah,
the second
time
I knew what the fuck the deal was. But I was like, shit, no one am I walking. I'm not about to walk to this motherfucker. Y'all have, they took it far. I'm like, damn.
Where'd they haul it to?
It's somewhere off of fucking Claiborne.
Yeah.
I was like, you motherfuckers.
But that's not going to stop you, you know?
Nah. I just pay that real quick. I'm like, bitch, you got me. You got me. Like, I can't argue with you right now. What would be the purpose of you, like, arguing with you? Like, because I'm not going to get my shit either way it goes. And if you check into my shit, you might find more shit that you need to put on my shit. So it's like, nah, I'm all right. I just paid. It's $189 to get it out. Just to let you know, $189. Whew, every time.
Boom.
And that's to say, if you ain't got special shit added on to it.
We take credit cards here.
Yeah, of course.
But what keeps you going? What's the fire in your belly that keeps you out here?
So I can stop fucking working so hard. Like, I like work, but I don't want to have to work so much. Like, well, I want to work a lot, but I don't want to have to work as hard as I do now to where it's dangerous when I go to work. You know, I work for 6:30 in the morning every day, you know, and I've been working 6 days a week, 10 hours a day, you know, working overtime. It's nice because I get paid a lot because I'm an electrician. But on the other end, it's like, damn, you know, I got this nightlife that I'm trying to...
Oh, thanks, man. Right, man. Appreciate it.
And I got this nightlife that I try to keep up with, and it gets dangerous at times because, you know, you got to get your sleep. Like, I'm getting old, you know. I'm about to be 30 years old in March. So you can't just sleep on not sleeping. Like, because it gets dangerous, especially when I drive home and shit. You know, I fall asleep at the wheel. That's not what you need, so, you know, it's just...
Keep it together.
I'm trying to budget time and all that, do what I can do, not do as much. Yeah. But do...
After midnight, 7 days a week.
Do so much, you know, not do as much, but do so much.
Well, and do what you want to do.
Right.
You know, you love it, and it's obvious.
Right. Yeah, it's not about to stop anytime soon, so this is how I'm rolling with it.
But I also want to mention and give a shout-out to some protesters... have shut down the Mall of America today.
Oh, did they?
Because of the Ferguson shit.
Uh-huh.
Mall of America shut down during Christmas. It's 2 days before Christmas right now.
They're
shutting it down. So citizens are rising up, you know what I mean?
I bet.
It's good. Do you think, you know, with the CIA torture report, I think that things are good. If they throw Bush and fucking Cheney in jail,
what?
How many fucking other revelations are we going to get? They're going to squeal on somebody else.
Oh, they rat.
And we're going to watch a fucking Gestapo go down.
Oh, it's all going to go down here.
You know what I mean?
Oh, my God. Wow.
But will we rise above this with some good ideas right now, you know? Huh.
Shit. I think, if that does happen, that is...
You know what I mean?
That is quite a debacle.
It'd be like a jubilee or something like this, you know what I mean?
Huh.
That's what I'm hearing. I'm going to have this guy on the podcast next week called Alfred Weber, and he's talking about the global economy resetting with a bunch of firings. Also, a bunch of bankers are committing suicide in weird ways on high levels.
Weird ways.
Like hundreds of bankers are going down or getting fired. Either dying or firing or both. But like, it seems like a bunch of people are jumping ship because they know the evil empire.
Because of Monsanto's would commit suicide like that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, shit, what is going on? Whenever you see the world crumbling, you see this shit now. Like, everything's fucking digital now, so you can... Everywhere you look, if you want to see it, you can see it.
Yeah.
So, like, motherfuckers better beware and better get ready for something. Something's happening. Something's about to go down.
But it could be good, you know. Why does everybody have to work, you know, 60 hours a week or whatever?
Yeah.
What if, you know, we get some technology that makes us afford to live a comfortable life? So maybe we can work 20 hours doing whatever, and we do stand-up, or we write books, or we, you know, exchange ideas on the internet with each other, educate each other, plant some food, whatever. But it seems like there's been a whole bunch of chicanery afoot inside, so you know what I mean?
So much.
What do you think's going on in there? What do you think?
Honestly, I don't know what the fuck they're doing. It is fucking everything up, though. Like, everything. Like, shit is just coming ahead. People are seeing shit that shouldn't see shit. It's like, y'all got caught fucking a neighbor. It's like, and now what you gonna do about it? Shit's going afoot.
Right.
It's, motherfuckers, I don't understand this shit. And I don't watch the news. I don't like to follow that because I don't really wanna know what's going on. But listening to the podcast and all that, and you're always gonna find out what's going on. I was listening to Joe today, and they had the chick from the Young Turks. She was on there, and all the shit she was talking about, I was like, wow, I did not know this. And that's where I get my information from, and the Daily Show, and the Colbert Report, because that's funny and informational. So that's the route I take with the news. But I don't like to just, like, it's all dumb shit. You're always going to show me, oh, who got shot here and why they got shot. Like, I don't want to, like, what's really going on? What do we need to fix?
And also, like, all these whistleblowers come out and then they're like, we need to emergency torture Snowden in the United States right now. You know what I mean? And it's like, what? He's like, a special assembly. It's like, because he proved that you're a criminal, that's why he's got it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Just seems like shit's too obvious right now. And with the, like, it's got to be like a growth curve, but like a, you know, parabola of how much information everybody's getting with the internet. And it seems like they catch you fast now.
Uh-huh. It's filling our heads up with everything now. Like, oh, this is what's really going on. Like, shit is documented now. Shit is dated. Shit is down in history. Like, people ain't gonna forget that. Like, if they forget it, they can always bring it back up at the fingertip.
Right.
So it's like, okay, what are you doing now? Where are you going? Like, why would you do this dumbass action when you know you're going to be seen? But motherfuckers don't think nowadays. They think it's still old days. It's not the old days anymore. This is the new way. Even though technology should be probably more advanced than what it is right now, just be lucky where it's at, you know? And just say, fuck that. You know, shit's going to get bigger. Shit's going to get smaller. Remember when fucking phones were small as shit? I used to have a phone that was the size of an egg. And I was like, yeah, this is the shit. But now my phone's like a little bitty TV in my back pocket. That is even better. Oh, my God. I love the way technology is going now. I used to be a techie, but now I can't follow this shit now. It's just way too advanced for me. Yeah, I fucking... It's just... I just... I love the way life is going right now. You know, I mean, it was kind of a whim that I started doing comedy. But ever since I started like that, that's all, I'm overwhelmed in it. You know, get to meet more people. Like this shit here, fucking, I love podcasting. So podcasting was I never knew other people knew about it until it just started breaking off like that. And, you know, I get to see Tom Segura on stage. You know, fucking, that was awesome. You know, even though it got ruined for me towards the end.
Someone started yelling at him or something?
No. Everything was good. His set went awesome. Everything was nice. It was just towards the end, like, you know, I was with somebody and they really didn't appreciate the art that Tom Segura was bringing, and they didn't give a shit. They didn't even know who he was, so they kind of ruined my experience when I went to go see him. I was there with the only shirt that he had brought to sign, and it was the bike shirt. I got a bike shirt, and I decided I was gonna wear the bike shirt that night. And as he passed me, he was like, "Hey, I got some bike shirts in the back. You want to sign?" He told the story and everything. I was like, "Shit, yeah, this is awesome." He came back. I was like, "Woo, bikes!" And he looked at me. He was like, "All right, man." He shook my hand, and ain't nobody went to go up to him in line. He was just standing there, and I was like, "Oh man, this is my opportunity." Shit, yeah, nobody's there. Nobody's giving a shit. Saw my friends. I was like, "Oh, all right." Dapped him off. I was like, "I gotta get to this business though." Gave the person that I was with my phone. I was like, "You know how to work it?" She was like, yeah, I got it. Go ahead, do your thing. And she shoved me on. I was like, "What the fuck are you doing? Don't embarrass me. Why are you shoving me? You know, don't little boy me out here. Why are we doing this? This is my idol right here, don't." I was like, "All right, fuck it." She got it. So I went stand by him. I was like, "Hey, man, woo, bikes," you know? And snapped the picture, no flash. She was like, "Oh my God, how do I flash?" I was like, "Man, what the fuck are you doing? Let you..." I was like, "Fucking hurry up, just get it." She was like, "Oh, I got it." Snap, no flash. Got two pictures. Dark as shit. Can't even see me. You can see him a little bit. You can't see me at all. I'm like, "Oh, you bitch.
How will anyone remember this moment?"
Oh, she's like, "Oh, I can Photoshop it. I got a good Photoshop. I got an awesome photo." She was like, "Oh, you done ruined this moment. Get away from me." And you know, Tom, he saw it all in my face. He was like, "All right, man." I was like, "Yeah, man, I gotta go now. She didn't ruin it. I can't even redeem myself." I was like, "All right, you guys, I don't even want to stay and mingle." You know, plus we had to go into the Mike Epps show, which I paid for.
Right.
That's what she was worried about. She was worried about the black comedians. I was worried about this white guy she doesn't know.
Listen, it's been 35 minutes. You should probably go inside. Yeah. Then we'll catch up when you finish your set.
Yeah, all right.
That's funny.
What's happening? Oh, man.
You just went up. We saw John Rowe.
Yeah.
I was hanging out.
Yes. That was awesome. That felt good.
All right, guys.
All right, see you, man.
See
you, John.
That's my sensei right there.
He's a good guy, yeah. I had him on the podcast. People remember John Rowe had a great podcast with me, so check that out. We just saw him go up. Awesome. How do you feel?
I feel awesome. I feel good. Yeah. I feel really good. That went better than I expected it to go. I got to
They're paying people in there are paying attention.
Yeah. Yeah, I got to throw some shit in there. Like, and it all panned it out like it should have. I was like, okay. This went well. And then you know, you get longer sets here. It's not like I gotta cram it in all in the, you know, 4 minutes, 3 minutes. So being able to come here and express myself, I actually get to act out more. And you know, I actually wanted to redeem myself from not doing certain jokes that I should have done full through when I've been in other places, you know. So for that last ending joke right there, I really wanted to get that one out and be like, I like this one, because I get to act out and then, you know, it's just so spontaneous. They're not, it's kind of unexpected, and it's like, oh, and that's what I like to go with.
A little pantomime goes a long way, you know, like my like bummed in joke. I do this one thing where I just look through a letterbox, and it's like, I do it the same way as, like, because I used to do improv and stuff. Everything you do is, like, set building. Just the littlest thing. People love it. When you're connecting a good idea.
It doesn't need much either.
Just pantomime something, you know. Use your body. You're standing there. What, are you just standing there with the microphone, or are you doing little things with your hands?
If you noticed, I just started leaving the mic on the stand.
Yeah.
I just started doing that. Because I like to be free with both my hands. And I'm like, how can I do this? And, you know, I'll be constantly moving the mic from my... from my fucking face now. I don't want to. So I'm like, I can stand here and still do what I need to do. And, you know, lean with it, rock with it, or whatever. You know, I fucking shoo-op that metaphor. Yeah. You know, I just like shoo-doo, like with the mic. And it feels better. I'm like, oh, I like this. So I might take that route and I can move freely with both of my hands.
Also, just slamming the mic stand down. Always, just every now and then, just slam it down.
Just to wake them up. Boom, boom. Just like, boom, you here with me.
Look, okay. What the fuck? Yeah, that just dropped. What the fuck are you going to say right now? You know, there's little things you do in between to make it have a good stage picture and stuff.
Yes.
Like that. I like how you, like, take your time to feel exasperated and emotionally affected by the stuff you're talking about.
Yeah.
Those little pauses make people go, oh, you know, if you're just talking really, really fast.
Right.
No one has time to understand what you're talking about.
Funny thing
about.
Was, when I first started, I've only been doing this for like a year and a half. When I first started out, my friend was like, man, you rushing too fast. You going too fast. Take a pause. And I was like, ooh, pauses are scary. I was like, I wasn't ready for a pause because I'm like, I'm going so fast. Boom, boom, boom. It's hitting them. Like, okay, good. I got laughs. But, you know, they weren't getting the full substance of what I was saying. They were just like, ah, that's funny. Ah, he's saying some retarded shit. That's funny. But they weren't really grasping what I was saying. So when I slow it down and I get to act it out more, they're like, oh, in the pauses, I get to throw facial expressions in between the pauses. Oh, that feels awesome. In any type of movement or gesture I can do, I'm going to look for it. Going to look for it. I think the way I've been brought up and the way I've lived is kind of like put me on the path to doing this. Because like my whole life, all my relatives are funny as shit. And it just kind of fell upon me that I did this. And I used to work for a Party Times and singing telegrams. I mean, I used to dress up in like costumes and go to like kids' parties.
Yeah.
And I have a fucking, like, when I first started out, I had this fucking Power Ranger joke where I dressed up as a Power Ranger and I fought these kids because I'm their size. They think, oh, grown Power Ranger, we can really fist fight this motherfucker because he moves. And oh my God, it ended up with all the kids being concussed on the ground. It kills. And I was like, oh, this is awesome. So, you know, I just related all that to that. But it just seems like I was just kind of destined to come this route. And fucking the stories that I have are kind of like unorthodox to other people. Because they're like, why would you do things like that? And it's like, I don't know. It's just the mind of a comic, you know, I guess.
Yeah, I feel like you, and also you're giving street cred to everybody around you. You're like, listen, I had funny aunts and uncles. They taught me everything I know. I'm going to represent this territory of people talking shit over the dinner table or whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I kind of feel like that because...
Always a witty remark. Always something right, witty, quick to come back. Spontaneous, just off the dome. It's like, whoa. You know, it was never ready. Always, like, I wouldn't think that my parents would be able, or anybody like older than me, adult, would be able to make me laugh so hard. I was always trying to impress my dad, make him laugh, and see how hard I can make my dad laugh. If I can make my dad laugh really hard, I know I would, because it was hard to do anything to my dad. Fucking Air Force, military guy, straightforward, fucking disciplinarian like a motherfucker. It was very hard to make him laugh. And to make my dad crack the fuck up, I was like, that's good. And that makes me feel good right there. And, like, he loves what I do. He's actually came see, like, one or two of my shows. And I talked about my grandma's vagina that time. Yes. Yes. And he was like, whoa. I was like, hey. Because my dad's a Christian. He doesn't drink. He doesn't smoke. He doesn't do anything like that.
Yeah.
So, for my dad, I was so nervous. For my dad to come and actually watch me and just support me. Just, like, you know, he puts all that other shit aside. Because he knows the type of person that I am. And knows what I'm going to do. He knows what I'm going to be. And he's like, oh, this is what you want to do? You're passionate at it? Okay, if you're good at it, cool. And he came to see me, and that's what I was telling at the time. So, you know, and he heard it. He was like, whoa, but he was dying laughing the whole time. And I was like, well, there you go. I win. There we go. Like, you can't punish me. You better not punish me. You know, that's usually how I see things now. I'm like, well, I got to strive to keep doing this. Because sometimes I wake up and it's like, ah. Why do I do this? What am I doing this for?
But let me tell you something. I beat off today at like 1 p.m., right? Oh, I thought I was
That's
done. I was like out for the count.
Mm-hmm.
I had a cat nap. That got woken up by my roommate leaving.
Oh.
I got to say goodbye to all his friends after like a fucking jerk-off nap, you know?
Right.
His family comes in, And I'm like, what? I'm all like still a little still high, driving. You know what I mean? I'm still like, I came really a lot, you know? It's Byron. And then I got a fucking, now I got to do shit. I had had 2 5-hour energies to get back in the game, you know what I mean? Because I'm a hustler. I needed 10 hours energy to make it to this place. But you make sacrifices.
Yes, I probably should try to eat well. The reason I don't do them because I'm like, oh, I know I'm going to be up, and I know I need to be to sleep before I fucking go wake up at 6:30 in the morning. Or no, I actually have to be to work before 6:30. I can wake up like 5.
Yeah, you're a hustler, man. Oh, man, in Los Angeles, I was doing that too, man. You wake up, you do your shit, you do your day job, you take a nap. You know what I mean? You don't take naps?
No.
What do you do when you get home?
I got to take my dog out. I got a dog. I got to fucking clean up her whatever her mess she made. She doesn't normally leave a mess. But usually I got to fucking take care of that. Like, I've been working 10 hours lately. Like, before then, I would have time. But I still wouldn't take naps. Like, because I would always be doing some shit. I would go to the gym. I did UFC training. I did that after work. Oh, killing me. Like I said, I needed to calm down because falling asleep on the road on the way home ain't cool.
Yo, you gonna take a fight or something?
MMA fight? No, just training. I mean, just to keep in shape. You know, I'm about to be 30. I don't look it, but it's like, I don't want to feel it either.
No, I started doing Muay Thai. So if you ever want to train Muay Thai, I can.
Yeah, I've always wanted. Wait, you like, and not just aerobics Muay Thai. You talking about actual Muay Thai? Where are you doing this at?
Well, I was doing it every day in Los Angeles, but now I just go to the gym, and I've got a training partner and stuff, and we meet up and stuff. But I know how to do that shit.
Oh, shit. I was in Taekwondo when I was little.
Cool, man.
Yeah, so, like, I want to get my flexibility back.
You need to learn knees and elbows.
Yes. In doing the UFC gym, doing that training, they showed you knees and elbows, and though they feel so good. They feel awesome. And just technique of boxing and all that, they just bring everything into one.
Does that help your comedy?
It helps me be, like, fearless kind of, sort of. Like, I can't be touched because I'm working out and I know I'm strong. I know ain't nobody working out to this capacity. And I know nobody can at least go 2 minutes in a scuffle without getting tired after that. So I know I feel as if I always have the upper hand, kind of, sort of.
Right.
No matter how small I may be, you know, I fucking, if I got my scuffle good, I'm good, and I'm fast as shit. So as long as I keep that up, you know, I also tumble. I'm a tumbler. I was a cheerleader when I was younger. So, you know, that kind of led everything into, like, this leadership shit. You know, like, I'm actually able to talk to people. You know, that's what that trained. You know, actually being able to interact with other motherfuckers. You know, I also did. I worked on with the Hornets on the Buzz Patrol. Mm-hmm. I did that, so that was actually had to break me out of my, because I'm kind of shy at heart. Like, when people really get this, I don't really say much. But once I started doing that, and I was like, oh, I really gotta talk to people. And I noticed that once I can talk to these people and make them laugh, like, whole crowds. I was like, I'm serious, though. Like, I'm being for real. Like, you know, we'd have to hand out balloons, some little balloons, because when they're behind the goal and they're going to shoot for a free throw, you fucking, you know, you wave the balloons or whatever. And it's like, you know, it's supposed to distract them, whatever. And I was like, here, these are the freshest ones right here. These are the freshest balloons you can get. You might as well take this balloon, because see this balloon right here? It's not that fresh. But squeak it, squeak it, squeak it. That's a fresh balloon. You take that balloon, you have a good day. Here, take two. Take some extra. Boom, give all my balloons away. You know, and it's, I was like, and then motherfuckers are just laughing down and shit. And I'm like, well, that felt good, and it wasn't intentional. I was just like, you know, the only way I can get these balloons off is if I fucking sell it. You know, I'm not a hustler. I don't like to fucking sell shit. I don't bet on anything. I never bet in my life. I mean, I go to the fucking casino, I don't even gamble. Like, I hold people's chips so they don't lose their money. I'm like, no, I'm up to them. I hold these. You're good here. If you need something, I got you. Just, I'll keep you straight. I'll make sure you don't lose all your money. Yeah, I'm the bank, I would say. So, you know, it's just a little insight of me, because this is how I work. And the reason I prefer to do, like, crowds that are mixed instead of just an all-black scene, because I know I don't portray the all-black people. I know this. I've been getting it my whole life, because growing up, my auntie was an English teacher. My grandmother was an English teacher. I always got corrected on my grammar. I went to a public school. I went to private schools. You know, grew up in a subdivision and shit around a whole bunch of white people. So, as I came up, you know, with I speak proper instead of speaking like you would normally hear other people speak. And it's like, I always got made fun of. It's like, yeah, you ain't black. You know, I had a white friend. It was like, he's blacker than you, because he was. He was. He dressed in the hood. He always had the freshest gear and shit. It's like, damn. So it was mixed match. It was always mixed match like that. But as I grow older now and I see that, haha, I have the upper hand. Like, I'm able to speak in a proper tone to actually get a job or portray to a certain crowd that, you know, maybe your accent or how you're vocalizing things won't get around to certain people, or they might fucking stereotype you in a certain way because you speak this way, and you can't help it because it's habit. It's habit for you to say you heard me, you know what I'm saying. They can't help but to say that. And for me to actually feel the way I do about house speak, I don't care. I love it. I love it now. And as you see, like, fucking Matt came, well, no, Blaine. I don't think he met Blaine, but Blaine came up to me at a show one day. He was like, man, I see how you do it. I was like, what you talking about? He was like, man, I see how you know, you can portray to a white crowd. I was like, what do you mean? He's like, man, when you come on stage, you make everybody feel so comfortable. Like, they see a black guy and they think, oh, yeah, this black guy with dreads, he's about to come talk about some dumb shit or some shit that we don't want to hear. And but you tell everybody hi, and you say it in just the most adorable manner. It's just, to me, you make everybody so comfortable. And once you say hi and everybody's got it, it breaks that barrier, is what you're saying. It breaks that barrier and everybody's comfortable. You can just flow from there. And people love you from the beginning. I was like, that is true. I have decided to keep that the way I fucking come on stage, because it does get people comfortable, and it's, they don't expect it. They don't expect me to come out like that. You know, they never expect, you know, to see, oh, who is this person? What is he about to do? They expect Cat Williams or Kevin Hart or something like that. And, you know, I'm not trying to be somebody else. Like, you can see, I got blue hair. I want to be different. I've always wanted to be different. I never wanted to be like anybody else. So that's why I always try to make my own style, my own way, and just be my own person. And basically, that's what's got me here so far.
You're doing it. You're hustling, you know. That was a great talk.
yeah, it's just my interviews. I've always wanted to, you know, speak out on it. Why my life is the way it is now, and why I choose to do what I do.
It's all, but like your story is the same story as every comic that I talk to. It's like comedy puts everything together, you know.
Yes. Yeah, I just feel complete now that I can express myself, and I just want to be heard. You know, even if it's gonna be out on some outlandish shit. But hey, look what I can think of. You know, before I did this, I used to rap. I used to write poetry. I haven't rapped or wrote poetry in a while, but I still can do it. It makes me feel good. Like, whenever I would get mad or something like that, I'll sit down and I'll write, and I always write. Oh, that's what I wanted to show you. On my phone. Like, ever since, you know, new technology came out.
Right.
So those are
all your sets from all the days.
This is just everything here.
Does it?
And like, from these reds are sets, these are just jokes that I put together in a bunch. And I just,
right. You're rolling through a whole bunch of
just
shit.
A whole bunch of memory, and it's saved to my Google account, so I can never lose it. And if I lose my phone, I can always pull it back up, and it's a lifesaver.
Right.
Like, I mean, I know paper's the shit, but fuck.
Hey, whatever works, you know. I had an old stand-up mentor guy, Dan Vitale. He was on SNL in 1985.
Whoa.
Then he did coke. And then there was new management. That was the only year that Lorne Michaels wasn't there. And he fired everybody. But anyway, he was in the firings. And, you know. But anyway, Dan Vitale, great guy. Not sure if he's still alive. But he always would tell me, write down things with paper. Write down. It's connected to your body. It's connected to your soul. It's connected to your mind.
A little bit.
But it's like,
writing it out. But
A little bit. maybe for memorization, but I think that, you know, whatever your system is, whatever makes sense
right.
to you,
right.
is have, as long as you're taking notes and not losing jokes or tags.
I,
you know.
I just recently did a set for my church, right? And as you can see, the type of comedy I do, it doesn't seem like I'm, like, eligible to do church work. You know what I'm saying? So, like, for me to do it, I had my friend here to record it, and he was sweating bullets. He didn't think I'd be able to go through it without cursing because of the person that I became now because I do comedy. But it went through without a breeze. And, like, that Sunday, I was able to show a kid my method of writing jokes. And it, like, he was sitting next to me. He was sitting next to me the whole day. He was like, man, you were funny, man. You were real good, dude. I was like, man, I really enjoyed that. And he's a little kid. And I was like, I got, they were laughing harder than the grown folk. And they were laughing. And it touched me because I was like, I didn't think I'd be able to get the kids to laugh at all. There were kids there. And, you know, fucking little kids that sit in the little chairs, those kids. And I was like, shit, they were dying laughing. I'm like, okay, this is going well. And he was talking to me. He was like, man, how do you do that? And I was like, well, all right, check it out, you know. And I was writing something down because I had noticed something. I go from by observation. And the kids in my church, they always want the littlest kid. Like, kids want kids. So I wrote my phone, kids on kids. Because all the little kids in church, 6, 8, 9, 10, all of them, they want the littlest baby. They want to play with it. They always want it. They're like, oh, no, it's my turn. It's my turn to have the baby.
Like,
no, you had it for
playing
too
with
long.
A doll?
Right. Like it's a toy. I'm like, you can't just fight over the baby like that. This is an infant. You got to watch its head. It has a soft spot at the top. What the fuck? Y'all are 8. You can't carry around this baby in church. I'm like, why y'all fighting over it? Getting upset, crying because they can't have a baby at this point in time. The baby need to go back to his mama. The baby need to get changed. The baby need to get fed. You can't play with this baby all through church. I don't understand this. And so when I showed him, I was like, yeah, look, see, look, kids on kids. He was like, what does that mean? He was like, if I explain it to you, you might understand, but you probably won't. So just know that I know what it's going to mean when I see it. He's like, oh, man. He's like, oh, that's your, you, man. You really doing that? I was like, yeah. I mean, yeah. It's something I like. It's,
you put the spark of, like, how much you have to obsess about something.
Yes.
Just like, hey, look behind the curtain. This is how much I'm working right now.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of the political correct movement, too, should recognize the hustle. Go on.
It's when I look at it now, like, when you say about it, you don't think about it until someone else from the outside looks at it in. And it's like, oh, man, this is an obsession. Because all that, that is an obsession. Like, that's all I think about.
These are our jars of toenails. It's all the jokes
yes.
we've collected.
Oh, and you know what's good and what's bad and what works here and what doesn't. And, like, bombing hurts. Like, people that I tell, just like when I tell people that I'm an electrician, it's like, oh my God, you do that? Wow, that's amazing. You know, ooh, you make a lot of money. Yada, yada, yada. It's okay. The way my lifestyle is, it's what and what. But when you tell somebody you're a comic, it's also the same way, but it's like, oh, wow, you do that? Wow, that gives, you must have guts. You gotta really fucking, whoa, I couldn't do that. And it's like, yeah. And they're like, oh, tell me a joke. And it's like, it's not that simple. You know, if I came up to you and you tell me just, if I tell you, just tell me a joke. But you're going to tell me something that you learned or recited from something. No, I don't. That's not the route I take. You know, it doesn't. You just looking at it and going the route it is, people don't understand or fathom what we actually go through up on that stage. Like, the first time I did it, I damn near shit my pants. Like, it is frightening. You know, you talk about fucking adrenaline, about ready to get in a fight. It felt like I was about to get in a fight. Like, the adrenaline. Like, now, it's eased off, but I get nervous every time. People's like, oh, you still get nervous? Fucking right.
I got nervous today because, you know, I'm doing the same shit that I did last week, only this time I'm like, look, I learned some shit about this material. You may hated it last week when I bombed with all this same shit, and that still hurts. I'm going to get right back on the horse, and I'm going to play the same song that was played the first time I got thrown off.
You just enjoy
motherfucker.
Right. Why can't
we do it? And let's try this from point one, you know?
Exactly. And fucking musicians do it the whole time. Everybody wants to listen to, oh, play that song. Oh, we like this song. Oh, we like that song. That's basically what we're doing.
Yeah.
But we have a collective of them. We have so many. We have so many. It's like, oh, you can't just pick your favorite one. Oh, you like this. Oh, you like that album. Oh, you like that whole bunch. Yes. You know?
No, so. I worked on this song all week, and you thought it sucked last week, and you were right. I fixed that shit.
Exactly.
Maybe some of y'all are new this week. Let me show you what I did. You know, I think only the comics understand what's going on between
comics. Comics, of course. Of course they do. It just feels so good when you're up there and you actually hit what you want to hit. Like, you get your points out like you need to get them out. Everything is, like, it rolls with the crowd, how the crowd's moving. And, you know you got a punchline that you're about to send out there, and you know that after you send that punchline, this is when the laugh's supposed to come, and you get that laugh. Oh, it feels fucking electrifying. So.
Yeah. I feel, like, way more comfortable that they're listening to my setups. I think before I was always in my head of like, no, joke, get it out, monkey.
Right.
But now
I'm
like, yo, take a little time, build a foundation, and then talk about that foundation. It's not wasted movement, but get a little deeper, That takes setup, you know?
And then being able to just set it up and get it in there, you get to go ahead and move how you want. You know, you get to express how you feel the situation should look. You know, this is how I would act if I'm about to say this, or if I'm about to do this. This is what I'm about to do. And I love getting all over the stage. It's just like, I mean, I'm about to perform. You know, this is my art, and it's not just me about to talk to you. I'm about to tell you some shit too. And I think that's me doing chilling, being on a stage in front of people, actually having to flip my ass off, because I knew I could flip my ass off. I know motherfuckers is gonna watch and be like, damn, alright, he might not have emotions and shit, right, but he could jump his ass off. And I'm like, fucking right, I'm about to be all over this stage then. Everybody gonna see. So that's exactly what I go for. And I'm like, yes, I'm over here, bitch. If you see me do the robot, like last time I came here, I did a backflip. That was unexpected and unplanned. And it's like, hey,
I was here, man. I was here, man.
Exactly. That was so much fun.
I saw that flip. Someone, did John Rowe dare you to do it? He's
no,
like,
no, it was Ben. Ben was like, hey, man, do a backflip. I was like, right now? He's like, yeah, right now. I was like, all right. Yeah, in college, my nickname was Flip, because anybody said, hey, flip. And then, shoot, flip, no matter if I was drunk or whatever. My partner still do it now. But he was like, man, flip. I was like, all right. Boom, did a flip, bang, walk up to the mic, all right, time for my set. And everybody was like, oh, my God. Son, I did a flip at my graduation. Like, I graduated, and when I got on stage, I did a backflip. And he didn't want to give me my fucking diploma. Oh, and the whole crowd stood up, so my dad got it on tape. Like, I liked the flip. That was at that point in time in my life. Like, now I'm getting a little older. I don't do it as much, but I would still like to get into it and keep in shape about it, because, you know, I'm all about keeping in shape. But, my fucking legs, boy. The legs give out fucking early.
I'm not going to ask you for a podcast because it's not a visual medium and it's dangerous.
Yeah. But it is good times, man. I just, fucking life, that whole moment of when I flipped on stage was just phenomenal. And, you know, just things that get you remembered, like fucking remembered. It's just, I just want to be, I've always told my dad when I was growing up, I was like, I want to be famous, I want to be on TV, I want to be an actor, you know, yada, yada, yada. The kid's ambition of what they want to do, an astronaut, I wanted to be a Navy SEAL, and I was like, I don't like cold water, so I'm like, fuck that. And then I was like, oh, I'm going to be a Marine like my brother, and then Bush fucked that up, was putting everybody in the war, and like, oh, I'm going to get shot at, don't do that. And my grandma was like, I cut that shit out. So I went to college. Did like 2 years, and I was like, lots of pussy, but this ain't for me. I don't like school. I did good in school, but I couldn't stand school. So I got out, fucking did construction. Fucking my uncle was like, hey, we got a job for you. Boom, been doing electric for 8 years now. So that route I take, and then the shit that I learn as I'm fucking doing electrical and all the shit that I hear, I get to live like an adult life, like an adult life, like, I actually have responsibility now. Like, I have to fucking nut the fuck up. Like, I can't be thinking that this person is going to help me at all times. So that brought me to a demeanor to where I'm like, all right, I should be able to handle whatever's put in front of me. And, like, since this crowd is here, this is what's being put in front of me. I should be able to handle this no matter how nervous I get. And just everything that I've done is just kind of prepared me for what I'm doing now on this stage. And it's like, wow. I mean, when I think about it, I didn't really expect any of this. I was like, what is my calling? You know, I don't really know what the fuck I'm supposed to be doing. Like, this electrical shit just fell on my lap. I didn't say I wanted to do electrical when I got over. Knew nothing about it. But they're the fucking most important part of a building. Like, you can't fucking fire a building up if you ain't got electricity. So I'm always going to be needed. And then I'm like, well, all right, that's fine. I got that under my belt. But I never wanted to do that. What do I want to do? What am I good for? What am I here for? Want to be an actor? That's going to be difficult. You know, I ain't got no really. I could draw, but who wants to see an artist out here? They got so many artists, so many people that draw. I can't compete to them, you know? So I'm like, well, motherfucker came up to me one day and was like, dude, you fucking funny. You ever thought about doing comedy? I was like, motherfucker, no. But now that you say something, and it got me to thinking. And that was my, one of my best friends. It was his brother that told me that. Because we're just shooting the shit, and, you know, just how I talk to everybody else. And every time I talk, you know, it's something hilarious. I'm being for real, though. I'm being serious, and it's something funny to them. So it's like, man, you ever thought of that between comedy? I was like, nah. Fucking once I started, I'm like, oh, I have a place to express myself now. Instead of just fucking bottling it up on the inside and fucking just going crazy over it, I can fucking talk about it on stage and actually get a fucking good reaction from it. Feel good about the fucking negativity that might have fucking hindered me, you know? So, it feels good about, you know, to talk about the bullshit. You know, talk about the dumb shit that's going on with you. It feels good to be able to express yourself to where people are going to listen and have a positive reaction to it. Yeah, so I don't think I'm going to stop this anytime soon. I mean, it gets to the point to where you wake up and you think about it, because it's so much, you feel as if, just like when you're rapping or something like that, like, what am I going to think of next? How's this going to continue? How's this going to keep going? But I've told myself that when I started this, that I was going to use all the old shit that I have, and I was just going to bring it, all the old shit. I was going to tweak it and do that. Ever since I've been out here, everything's been new. Just bang. From the next week, the next week, to the next week. The first year, every Wednesday was something new. Like, I was doing a new 5-minute every week. And then I was like, well, I'm not really remembering anything. I'm just doing shit to get shit out. I mean, it's good at this point in time, but how long will it last? So now I've been working on it, and I'm like, well, fuck this. This has worked. I know it can be better. And I've been fucking adding on to it and fucking building up for at least 2 weeks now before I start something new. And so I've been running with it like that. And that's been great, because once you get it down pat, you get so much love afterwards. And that's what I'm like, yes, I've been working. Like, you hear people that do their sets from over and over and over. And it hits certain places, it hits certain ways, but it doesn't really hit like it should hit. And then you get to that one point to where they got that motherfucker real crisp. It's like, yeah, that motherfucker been working. And I love that. I love that. That just excites me. You know, I want people to hear it, be like, that nigga been working.
Yeah.
Yes. So, oh, this is awesome.
Yeah, man, it's great. It's great. When a bit comes together, you sculpt it, you work on it, it's not working out, you try it again, you know, you're like, you tune your guitar, you look up.
Yeah.
And, you know, you beat yourself up a little bit. There's nothing wrong with going, oh, shit, I should have done this, I should have done this. That's how you get good.
So much of that.
And there's nothing wrong with, like, being depressed, because, you know, fucking...
Yeah, it eats away at you.
Bombing sucks, and that's the fire that motivates you to prepare, to fucking do your homework, to write your jokes out, you know.
Every time a bad shit happens that's terrible, I'm like, never again. Never again when this happened again, bitch. I'm gonna be prepared next time. You fool me once, all right, shame on me, bitch. Not so, again.
I feel like when I first saw it, I was just like so scared of like any kind of silence. But what we were saying before, but we were talking about that. But just like taking your time, you know, letting them absorb what you're saying, one fact at a time, you know.
Right.
But you gotta treat it kind of like any kind of competitive athletics, you know, like. You got to treat it like, okay, I'm going to get my reps in. I'm going to do my time. I got to rep, you know, but there's always practice. You got to write, so.
You got to get it in.
Yeah.
You got to get it in. That's what I keep telling myself. And, like, I know I got to do more with actually getting out there because I don't want just them to see it. I want everybody to see it. I want everybody to see all of us. Like, I want if one person makes it out, good, you know. But if I get out, I want all of us to get out.
Right, right.
Like, I want to make sure motherfuckers see everything. You're like, okay, this is good, but come check this shit out. You know, it's...
But I think the scene's building at a good rate, you know.
It is. I like the way it's going. Like, because I thought it was something big when I first started. But now this shit, it's like, really moving. I'm like, whoa. Like, you see it grow before your eyes, and I'm like, oh shit, I need to fucking hop on the bandwagon. It feels like I'm trailing behind, but I'm still keeping up. You know, I'm still keeping up. I want to fucking grab onto the reins and hop on. So like, I really need to get on the ball with things. You know, I'm really thinking like, I've always just been waiting on money because it's just me. It's just me down here. I mean, I got my brother down here and my mama, but you know, me working so hard is so I can. And strive at this comedy scene so I don't have to work so hard anymore. I mean, I still want to work. Like, if I do comedy, I still want to do electrical. Like, I still want to be able to go ahead and fucking estimate somebody's house, you know? But I still want to be that personality person to where I can make things funny, fucking go on the road, headline, all that, you know? Fucking movie deals, whatever. Wherever it takes me, you know, that's the route I want to take. Of course, it'll be overwhelming, and I don't like being overwhelmed. But, fuck, I don't like being in big crowds. But sometimes it happens because I'm small, and I need to get somewhere.
And also, you know, but you like performing in front of big crowds, you know?
That's always nice.
Where you take the bull by the horns and you go after what you're afraid of.
I think I can fucking tackle the shit out of that bull, too. I take it by the horn and wrestle the shit out of it, fucking get it down, hog tie the fuck out of it. I think I got this. Like, especially when it comes to crowds, if you're going to be looking at me, because, like, I swear, I think the church was... I've done a pretty big crowd, but, oh, they had some motherfuckers in that church. And I was like, oh, I got to make sure I don't slip up. You know? I was like, wow. I didn't think any of it was gonna pass through. There's a Jesus joke I tell, and I'm like, I don't want to tell no Jesus joke in a church, but it goes well. It went real. It was the best thing I had. I was like, shit, I didn't think that would work at all. And I told him, I was like, goddamn, I'm glad that worked, because I didn't think that was gonna work at all.
It depends on the tone of your Jesus joke.
Yeah. He has a hole in his hand, and I think he'd be good at hot hands. Because it makes him wind resistant. It's just, phew, and you fucking slap me. I went on with it. Oh, I was like, shit, yeah. That worked. I did a little jig and everything. So I was like, fuck.
High stakes in a church, but they're in a good mood.
They were in a good mood. I need to find out a way to end my shit, just the way to end things, just the way to, like, instead of fucking, because everything rushes in my head, and it just never slows down at the end. It just, and it runs through the finishing tape, and it's like, I want to be able to slow it down and just be able to tell everybody information that needs to be known or whatever, and not ramble on or not get to, like, my top joke at the end and just fucking bail out. You know, like, oh, he tripped over his shoestring at the end. Oh, poor baby. You know, I can't get it together yet.
Gotta end with a punch, but, you know, everyone knows what they gotta work on, you know, but, you know, everyone has something where it's like, no, I gotta get better with this, I gotta get better with this, you know.
Right.
But it's good. That's what it is. You can feel, as long as you can direct your training and not get crazy, you know. But it is it's an endless fucking pursuit. And you're never going to master it because, you know, you can have it one night. They can tape it one night where it's really on. But you know all the other nights that you sucked. And you did suck.
I hate it. Yes. And just fucking, not everybody's going to like it. Not everybody's going to feel the same way that other crowd felt. You know, you're not going to always get the same thing every night. It is always a challenge. But it's a challenge we're willing to take because, I mean, it's fun for us. I fucking enjoy the shit out of this. It's like a big challenge for me. Like, let me see if I can do this. I got this. I got this. I see it going bad right now. Yeah, all right. He got the room quiet. Some people left. But fuck that. The rest of the motherfuckers? Oh, y'all going to enjoy this. And I like the way things are going now. Like, shit's changing and I feel it. I feel it change. You know, I feel it as it's...
What, you think the city's turning over and accepting it more?
That? Fucking motherfuckers are getting better. Motherfuckers are like, I'm watching motherfuckers grow. And to see people grow, like, since, you know, me working in construction, I've seen, like, from the years of working with people coming from apprentices to fucking, to people that are fucking topping out and shit. And it's like, damn, bitch, I mean, when you ain't no shit. Now you up here, you doing this.
Yeah, you're building a house with your hands.
You're building it, right. And the more and more work you put in, the greater you'll be at doing it. And it feels fucking wonderful. Like, that's the best feeling you can get. Like, once I feel like, once I graduated from fucking electrical school, I was like, shit, this feels awesome. Like, I got more knowledge than what I did when I first came in here. And now those motherfuckers that are just coming in, I can tell them how I go. You know? I can tell them what to do. I can tell them how this should be done. I can give them secret ways of how to getting around something. You know? The little tricks of the trade and all that. It feels good to just fucking grow like that.
Well, you're a super positive person. Kyle Smith, what's up? This is episode 101 of Highway Diary. I got some plugs. Listen, second week of January, I got booked at House of Blues on a Thursday. Shit will be put on notice about that. Second of all, every Sunday at Cajun's, I'm hosting the open mic from like 5:30 to 9. You can hit Cajun's and then you can hit Hi-Ho on Sundays. This information is only good for people who live in New Orleans.
Also, Lanuit every Friday and Saturday for 11 p.m. Come out. It's always fun. It's just a bunch of us getting together, doing our thing. Open mic. So if you want to get up there, fucking say
something. You're hosting
that? Jackie usually hosts it. Jackie Jenkins Jr., he usually hosts it. But if he's not there, sometimes I'll host it. Sometimes John will host it. You know, it varies. It's real comfortable there. You get time and all that. So it's a good place.
I think that was the first one I did, but it's off the bus route. But I'm sure. I'll come see you this Friday. I'll come do it. Yeah, I enjoyed myself. There was actually like a crowd. If you get up there early, there's actually a crowd at Lanuit on Fridays.
We gather them in from the bars that be around. We actually solicit. We actually got to go out and hustle. We actually got to go out and get them and be like, hey, we got to interact with people. And that was when I first got there. I was like, holy shit, I got to do this. But it works out. It works out in the end. And it's a real good turnout.
You bring a drunk crowd in and... Right. Right, I remember heckling some people.
Remember the fuck out of you, and they bring other people, and they bring other people, and that's how it gets packed in there.
Yeah, man. But cool. All right, Fridays Lanuit, Sundays Cajuns. This has been another episode of Highway Diary. Wait, no, I fucked up my own.
It's okay.
I go. That's another episode of Highway Diary in the motherfucking bag. Episode 101. Thanks to my guest, Kyle Smith.
Nice. Thank you, dude. Thank you, man.